Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time to hop in your bike and pedal along. It's the Pedego Podcast with some entrepreneur and love stories of those behind this whole crazy movement. The entrepreneur is making it happen, and the love stories of those just riding along. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. Well, today, we happen to have that intersection that you come to once in a while here, where both parts of your story collide. We have with us today the one and only Mike Murphy from Pedego Eugene, who is both has some love stories and some entrepreneur stories to share with us. Thank you, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
We were kidding before we started the show. We're both good Irishmen. Michael Murphy, ha, start slipping into the brogue. I'm about three quarters Irish. And my father, who was half Irish, was named Eugene. And I was brought up as a young boy, don't ever say that name. He hated his name, Eugene. What's it like in Eugene, Oregon? It sounds like a nice place. I don't know why I have a negative view of it here.
Eugene is a lovely place. In fact, Don DiCostanzo, who was just here last weekend, was quite effusive. It's a beautiful area, lots of natural beauty. Very much a biking-friendly place to
live. That's what I hear. Yeah. Well, let's talk about before we launch into your story here. Since you brought it up, let's go there. Don was up. Would he have the big bus? Was this your what do you call it? Pedapalooza or something? Tell me what it is again. I always forget.
Yeah, it was the Pedapalooza, and we were the third of three stops for Don and Cynthia. Up here in the state of Oregon. They were in Portland on a Friday and Bend on a Saturday and then came here on a Sunday. And we were grateful to have 50 of our Pedego owners out for a ride and some lunch and some music and some words of wisdom. So it was great.
What the heck is it, a Pedego-palooza? What is a Pedego-palooza? Why does Don get this big bus and ride around and throw parties at Pedego stores? You're dealers. I don't have a dealer. I don't go down to my local Chrysler. My dad worked for Chrysler for a million years. I don't go down to the local Chrysler dealership and have a party.
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, Paul. I think that obviously I'm relatively new to Pedego, and they used to hold these down in California as a big event, but because of the pandemic, being flexible as I know Don is, they
yes.
purchased this big RV, and I think we've gone to 70 plus of these events. And the question you asked is why? And I think this is one of the secret sauces of this company that's so appealing to me is there's a real passion about connecting with our owners and making sure that they know that we are really appreciative of the way that we can interact with them and how we work together to help them get what's important to them, accessibility, mobility, freedom, those kind of things. And so it's our way of honoring them and getting them together to be part of this kind of Pedego family that we really try to promote. It's very unique to this company and one thing
very
that I'm
unique.
Quite proud of.
Yeah. As I started this journey a couple months ago here, as I don't know much about e-bikes, I run an internet radio station, OC Talk Radio, down here in Orange County. Don came in to be a guest, and we started the conversation. He started telling me about all these love stories of people who are just passionate about this product. And the entrepreneurs, they're almost love stories of the entrepreneurs, why they love this business so much here. And I said, well, this is a storytelling media. I'd love to tell those stories. What, are we going to run out of three or four of them? He's like, we got 3 million of them here. We got lots of stories. As many dealers, as many customers we have, we got lots. There is a passion about this product. And the only thing I can compare it to, because I came out of the auto industry, my dad was an auto exec. I know Don grew up around, his uncle was a car dealer, other sorts of things. We all saw that people were passionate about cars, and we have a connection to a car. But only certain brands were able to get that fanaticism. And I think of Jeep, because I come from the Chrysler world. You know, there's a certain tribe that buys a Jeep, and they have secret handshakes, and they go on safaris together and do other things. Of all the millions of e-bikes out there, and there are lots of different brands, I don't see many or any that have this kind of passion that Pedego has built up. Why?
I think that there's a couple reasons, and again, this is mostly my experience, but I know that people who come to our store here in Eugene, and I think this is not an unfamiliar story to other Pedego owners, there's just an appreciation for the quality of the product, for the personalized level of service that they get, and the follow-up support. And I think, again, this kind of family atmosphere. Every one of my social media posts, whenever someone comes in and we help them find the perfect fit Pedego, it's always a greeting that says, congratulations and welcome to the Pedego family. And
welcome to, it's a
really
family.
Love that.
Yeah, it feels like a family. And it, to me, we call this the e-bike revolution. It feels like there's some revolution, not just the revolution of the wheels, but there's something moving people in a direction. They're coming together. And I think that's true in e-bikes in general. I remember meeting Don years ago when he first started talking to Star. I said, e-bikes? Really? I don't know. You know, maybe a few. I kind of get it, but I didn't get it. And now, boy, everywhere I look, I live here in South Orange County, and I see e-bikes everywhere. I see a lot of Pedegos. And what is it that suddenly has caught on? Because it didn't come from the bike world. We've talked about this in other shows. The bike world was kind of snobbish and snooty. That's cheating. That's not a real bike. That's something else, but we don't want it. It really sort of sprang, not just because of the efforts of Don and other entrepreneurs in the industry. There was something resonating. He saw it, and he said, this is going to be big. What is it? What is that secret sauce? Is it just getting people out again?
I think that certainly, again, from my experience being relatively new, I think the pandemic certainly pushed that here in this last year for sure. But obviously, this has been going on for some time. I think that what I hear from people and from clients is that as they've looked to try to find ways to become more active, as they've gotten older and they started to develop some health issues, they're trying to think about ways to become active. And one thing that seems apparently clear is that most everyone can have a vivid does have a vivid memory of their first bike.
Yeah.
Like there was that first sense of freedom. Like,
oh my goodness.
They know the color of the bike, they know the seat, they know the handlebars. And there's something very connected to that. Yeah, very, very connected to that idea of their bike. It was the first thing they had as a child that really gave them freedom. It was before cell phones and before all these things that tie us to the world. It was the way you could get out and be express and get somewhere quickly. And I think that that has now come around full circle to people who now maybe have realized that that is something they really enjoy, but they need some help. They do need some help. And having this ability to get like magic legs for people who have had hip replacements, knee replacements, and have neck and shoulder issues or back issues.
Yeah.
And the fact that Don was smart enough to kind of design the products for a group of people who needed simplicity, they needed comfort, they needed to have confidence that they could, go a lot, not only get somewhere, but get back, long range batteries, those kind of things.
That's so, the key. I've got a bike. I told the story before on one of the shows a couple years ago. I'm in my mid 60s when I was in my mid 50s. My daughter was younger. We all thought, let's get a bike. And there's a trail behind us. And it was fun going down into the canyon. It wasn't too much fun coming out of the canyon. And I quickly put the bike in the garage, and there it sat. Now I hang clothes on it. It's a wonderful clothes hanger as I hang it from the ceiling here. I start looking at myself saying, I'm that crowd. It's me. I got away from riding a bike. And then when I went out to one of your events, when I started doing the show, how much fun it is to get out and on a bike. I felt like a kid again. It brought back all those memories. And not only that, it was a social thing. I wasn't just doing it alone like the exercise bike that's also sitting in the garage. Talk about that. You just had some events, and you've got some events coming up. What is it about this tribal? It's almost like the Harley riders or something. They go out and they gather and they go do stuff together.
Yeah, again, part of I think the secret sauce for Pedego and for my shop even specifically is, once the person typically buys a product or service, there might be some follow-up, emails or marketing, but we invite them in. We have owner rides. We invite them to come in on a regular basis, and we typically will get 10 to 14 people, and we'll take them on a two and a half hour bike ride where they get to talk to other Pedego owners. They get to find riding partners. They get a chance to get on regular exercise. They get to see bike paths that maybe they wouldn't otherwise get a chance to ride on. And they feel connected to that process. And again, it is a tribe in that way, that this idea that we are with them for the rest of their life as far as the biking process.
Riding along, really supporting each other, bringing them together. You're not alone. This isn't a toaster that you're going to take home and make toast in the morning. This is something you're going to do. You can do it alone if you want, but there's a community ready to embrace you and ride along with you. Would it amaze you that my wife got a Kia a couple years ago? One of our two cars is a Kia, just a normal Kia, whatever it is, Optima or something. Nobody has ever called us from Kia and said, come on down, let's all take the Kia and out and go for a ride. Not once.
Well, and the power of the Pedego dealership network is that I have a lot of clients who are snowbirds. And so it's such an amazing thing to be able to say, oh, you're going to go to this city. I'm going to call ahead and talk to the dealer there, who will then connect you with Pedego riders. So when you're there for 3 months, you have an instant family. You can just join in, they know where the bike paths are at.
That's
a really amazing thing to be able to do for somebody. So when they get there and they take their bikes, because they made this investment, they don't want to leave the bikes at home.
But
they can get there and have a dealer who can support them and knows all about it, and who can then introduce them to these other really avid Pedego family members, who then can just pick right up where they were. I think that's a really amazing thing about the Pedego network. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about your amazing story. That's really what we brought you on today, because our whole podcast is about either the entrepreneurs, and we've heard a lot of entrepreneur stories. This was their second act career, or we had somebody on the other day. No, this is his first act career. He went from being a young pro golfer and got injured, and now he's now a Pedego dealer. We've talked about some of those journeys of how and why people chose to be e-bike dealers. And at the same time, I see certain patterns, I see certain things every time the story's different. Tell us your story. How did you come to be an e-bike dealer? Because you also are an e-bike lover. Maybe that came first. It transformed your life.
Yeah, I had there was no plan anywhere in my life to be an e-bike shop owner, or even frankly owning my own business. I was a banker for 42 years, but I did.
You ran like a commercial banker, but you weren't just like the loan officer or something. You were.
I had had several senior roles in several banking companies, and was a very successful career and a very rewarding career in lots of ways. But as I got closer to thinking about retirement, it was just one of those things where I had just started traveling and was looking forward to doing that. And of course, with the pandemic, it didn't work out.
Right.
So having this evangelist kind of mentality around e-bikes really came from the fact that during all that time, as sometimes happens in a career, you lose track of your physical health. And I had gained a fair amount of weight. I hadn't always been heavy, but over a period of about 10 years, ballooned up to about 300 pounds.
I was going to say, can we go there? I mean, we're looking at you right now, Mike. You don't look 300 pounds or even half of that here. I can't picture you 300 pound Mike here.
Yeah, I have a picture in my office that I share with people that shows the front half of me at 304 and the back half at 175. And so it took me about 2.5 years. And I think, there's always a level of desperation. People say, well, what was the turning point? And I can't tell you. There's just some point when a person finally says, I got to do something different.
Yeah.
I had ridden a Pedego bike, 7-8 years ago as a rental in San Diego, which I think a lot of people probably got exposed that way.
That seems to be one of the ways people first get on the bike. Hey, somewhere, let's rent one, let's try it, it'll be fun. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe a year or two passed, and I think I just ordered an online bike online, I think, at one point. And I frankly had forgotten about it, because it took like 7 months to show up or something like that. And one day they wanted the rest of the payment. I went, well, I guess I'm committed.
Yeah.
And it transformed my life. I started to use it to commute to work. It was about a 15-minute commute. And it was pretty early apparent to me that it was going to be something that I could do as far as exercise, because I had not been able to bike, say, more than a couple miles on a regular bike. And also, I was doing 20-mile bike trips. And then waking up the next day,
people then would, I can hear people groaning and saying, but it's an e-bike, Mike. How much exercise can you get? You're just hitting the throttle. It's a little mini motorcycle. Are you really pedaling? Are you really getting exercise out of this?
Well, here's the thing, I say the same thing to my clients or people who are concerned about, am I cheating? Am I getting enough help? Well, first of all, the short answer is over 2.5 years, I lost 135 pounds. and I can guarantee I use assistance every bit of the time, a lot more when I was heavier, a little less when I got lighter. But if you just sat on your couch and put your feet up in the air and did pedaling in the middle of the air for 2 hours, you're going to drop some calories. So the fact that you get help really is immaterial. The bottom line is you're moving for that period of time, and really to get healthy, it's about movement. And so, and I think that what's beautiful about the Pedego products is that you can dial in that assistance however you're feeling. If you're feeling pretty strong, you can turn it all the way down and sweat your head off, but you also got to come back. And when you come back and there's a headwind and you need some assistance, there's no shame in that. And so I think, everybody has a different reason for wanting to do this. But I would say to them that having the ability to have assistance when you need it is an amazing thing. Because
and maybe that is, I was just going to say, maybe that assistance is what keeps you from going back on the couch. Because it gets rid of the excuse, oh, that was too hard.
Yeah. And even the folks who come into my shop and say, I'm not here for me. I don't need any help. I'm still a really active rider.
Right,
yeah. It usually is followed by, except for that one hill on the way back home. And right. And then eventually that turns into a conversation where, you know, they can ride the bike, you know, fairly powerless if they need to. But when they start to get that help just for that one hill, they realize that there's value in that. And so I think, you know, obviously the core demographic is those, typically for me, has been people who are, you know, getting back on a bike for the first time in 10 or 15 years, yeah, and want the
right,
help.
Right.
But there's a new demographic that's coming in that's saying, I'm not as concerned about quote unquote cheating as I was before. I just enjoy riding the bike. And if this makes it so I can ride longer, I'm all for it. And I see more and more of that happening every day, which I think is great.
I think that's a demographic I didn't know existed until I've heard similar stories. I'll give you one. The guy in New Jersey we talked to, I forgot his name, the Pedego dealer there in, where was it? Somewhere down by the beach in the Jersey Shore there. And Cape May, that's where it was. And he said his light bulb moment for him was when he was thinking of getting into this business, his father was dying of cancer. I don't know how to say that nicely. And couldn't get out of the house, wouldn't get out of the house, wouldn't do anything. He'd been a fairly active man, but now he's dying of cancer. He's in that last year of his life. I'm going to get choked up thinking about this here. And he brings the bike over to his dad. He says, try this. Tell me what you think. Dad doesn't come back for like half an hour. He thinks, oh my God, I just killed my dad. He's by the side of the street. He said, instead, he comes back with a big smile on his face. And he said, can I ride this the rest of the summer? Yeah, Dad, if it'll get you out of the house. And for that last half of his life, that last half a year, he said, it did amazing. It got my dad out. Now, my dad needed a lot of help and assistance to get out and get on a bike. It gave him that. It gave him the freedom again, like a little kid. It gave him the to get out into the fresh air again. It gave him a positive head. That's what the guy, the Pedego dealer from, what was it, down around Scottsdale, we were talking to the pro golfer. I said, did this help you rehab? He said, somewhat. But he said, what it really did is help my head, because otherwise I wanted to sit home and moan and groan about how I can't be a golfer anymore because I've had all these injuries. Talk about the psychological effect. We always focus on the physical effect. And for the physical effect, it was dramatic. You dropped a lot of weight, half of your weight. And part of it was because you were getting out and doing it on a regular basis, I suspect. What does it do to your mental attitude, as your mental health as well as your physical health? Just to get out and get it going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, Eugene, you know, is a very beautiful area. And I think maybe being shut indoors, or when you're so focused on a career that's mostly inside, you forget about that. And when you get outdoors and you have the fresh air and you start to feel like you are seeing a really intimate side of the place that you're from, mm-hmm. And the beauty that's around you, things that you would miss driving in a car,
yeah,
or right, that you couldn't get to when you're walking, you know, and only can get, you know, a mile at a time, when you can get 20 miles in your community, it does do something to you mentally. And it's tied also to the physical. As you become more physically strong, mentally you start thinking you're capable of doing a lot more than you thought you were before. And a lot of my clients are the same way. They come in with lots of health issues, or maybe a spouse that's more active than they are. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this is an equalizer. The next day, they're on equal par. And for their mental health, I mean, you talk about choking up. I have a lot of clients and myself that have been in tears because of how amazing it's been to have, you know, really overnight the ability to do something with a partner, a spouse, a grandchild that have never been able to do, say, in the last 10 or 15 years. And that is life-changing. And I hear that word a lot in my shop. I didn't think I would, but even in my own experience, it certainly has been life-changing for me mentally.
So you were in banking for a long time. My wife was a branch manager, I won't say the big bank chain down here, until she was forced into retirement during COVID after a 30 or 40 year career she was a branch manager and other things. And two things. I wish I'd known about Pedego Bikes then, because she was sitting at home suddenly. She wasn't a golfer. She wasn't going to watch TV. She was active. She'd worked her whole life. She loved people. She loved being out. And suddenly she was without purpose, alone, cleaning the house 100 times a day until she finally found some other meaningful. She got involved in charity, and that helped to fill some of the time, and grandkids filled some of it. But still, there's kind of a little hole there. Because her social world was through the work. And now when that's taken away, we realized how little our social life was, just sort of, it wasn't neighbors anymore, because we didn't have kids. We're all playing softball together or something here, that it was through work. And take the work away, What was it like for you to make that transition out of banking? Was it difficult to find friends and find community after you get over, oh, I'm going to travel the world. Now what am I going to do next week?
Well, I was a pretty mopey guy when it hit me that my plan for retirement wasn't going to go as I thought it was. I mean, it didn't take too long. I retired on July 3rd of last year and slept on July 4th just for fun. And then on the 5th, I started realizing that all these plans for travel probably weren't going to happen. And I did have kind of a mental decline for a bit. And I just, luckily, it only took maybe a few weeks before I stumbled across the space that ultimately became the place where I opened my bike shop. And again, that whole thing was like, this came from out of nowhere. I mean, I wasn't like thinking, gosh, what do I need to do for money? That wasn't an issue for me.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, I thought, well, I think I'm just going to open an electric bike shop in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of winter. and I have no fear about that for some reason.
Yeah. The banker who would be sitting across the desk saying, are you nuts?
Exactly. I think if I had given myself time to think about it, I would have had that conversation with myself. But for whatever reason, you know, this is again my personal story. It just felt right. I actually had some people that I trust that are business advisors, and I ran it by them, and they were very excited about it. I still hadn't really decided that Pedego was the partner at the time, mm-hmm. So that's even scarier because that could have gone really sideways without Pedego.
What is it about Pedego that it is? And I always stress three things that strike me as unique about their model. One is that they have dedicated dealers. So if you're going to join, we want you to be on the team and a believer and support it and understand. You're not going to have 100 bikes. I got a kid's bike. I got a touring bike. I got a million things and whatever you want. It's bikes or us, we'll say. Without any real passion, I'm just a warehouse full of bikes. I think there's something different about that. Does it feel different to be a dedicated dealer? Does it feel scary to be a dedicated dealer?
I think it would have been scary had I not done the research ahead of time. I mean, again, because of my banking career, I mean, I have a fairly
analytical. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though that idea came freely, I didn't go forward without some intention. And that included doing research on the companies. You know, it became very clear to me that for somebody who needed, you know, from a business perspective, multiple streams, a good brand, all that kind of stuff, there was really only one place that I could find that, who could also provide, you know, inventory and bikes and things of that nature, and had a good warranty. Right. And so, I had several Zoom calls, started first with Cynthia in the business development area, and then eventually with Tom and Don, which ultimately led me to decide to rent a car and leave my apartment for the first time in 7 months and drive to Southern California to meet dealers. I actually went and visited 6 stores.
Wow. There's a banker. So let's go see some other stores here. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can believe, you know, and again, I had no reason not to trust what I was hearing from the Pedego corporate folks. But I also felt I was going to make an investment and was going to do this and do it right. And so I was taken by the passion of each of these dealers in Southern California. They all ran their businesses very differently, which spoke to me about the flexibility of the Pedego model. Mm-hmm. They all felt
because
like
it's not a franchise, it's a license. So you have a wider license of what to do, although within the framework of what they're going to suggest, I guess, right? Yeah.
They definitely were owners. There was an owner mentality, and I think they're slightly different. My parents have been in the franchise world for, you know, 50 years, and while it does feel like they own it, there's that little difference. And,
yes.
And I think that when I talked to the dealers there in Southern California, there was without doubt a belief that they had a great partner in Pedego from mm-hmm. the way they were supported, the fact they could talk to Don and bring up issues that they came up,
the owner,
how they were resolved.
Right.
And I left there after those 6 visits, and I was actually there with Hal, who was from North Carolina, who also opened a Pedego dealership. And from there, it was really just a matter of sitting down with Don and saying, you know, I'm on board with this. I think this can be a really great thing for us. I need your help because I don't know anything about what I'm going to start doing here. So,
but I trust you, not a bike dealer.
And I'll do my best. And so, that to me was a real crucial point, was meeting the other dealers who to this day I can still call or, you know, get in communication with. And it feels, you know, much like the family on the owner side. There's a feel like a family here as well. On the dealer side,
family of dealers, family of customers. It's a unique thing. Did when you were in banking, you're there to help people. That's what my wife always said. But you're helping them with financial products and stuff here. She said too often people come in because they're angry, they're upset, something's screwed up here, something's wrong here. So I didn't, as banking got on, she got worn down by it. It wasn't so much the helping and the service as it was the selling the products and supporting the products. And the, when they started calling them products, it used to be a checking account. Now it's a product. And when we see on your screen, you've got only two of our products. We need to sell you three more. She didn't like that transition from banking, which was very service-oriented because it was very regulated. Everybody had the same product. What differentiated was service. Talk about that in this. What's it like serving this product in this community? And is it different than what you felt when you were in banking?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I have no regrets about my banking career. I learned a lot. I grew a lot as an individual. I worked for a lot of great banks. I worked for a lot of not-so-great banks. And I've been through good sales cultures and bad sales cultures. And one of the things I would say about this is I don't feel like I sell anything in this career.
That's what I
hear. People come to be educated and we try to help them. We try to help them find what they're looking for. And that sounds cliche, but I also would give kudos to Don for partnering with some really good sales training people. Joe Marcoux, who is the person that even though I've got an extensive background in sales training, I wanted to be humble enough to know that I didn't know the answer to this.
Yeah.
And the reality is, most of my staff don't have sales backgrounds. They're relationship people, and they're teachers, and they're patient coaches, and they are there to educate and help people and let the bike do the work for us. And because I believe in the product and I believe in the support. And so the reality is now I feel like my contributions are even more personal. Not that people didn't get excited about getting a loan, but I never had anybody sign loan papers and go,
exactly.
That was the most fun loan signing I ever had. It never happened to me.
Exactly.
Because I knew they were in debt. And even though some people, you know, they're spending a good chunk of money on these bikes in some cases, to them, it's a much more personal interaction with us. And to me, it's a much more personal interaction because we're talking about their health and their mobility and their freedom. And those concepts, you know, certainly you could probably find a place to get that in banking, but it's different. It's entirely different. The relationships are different.
And I say more so the last 10 years, because I watched her evolution. She worked for the big ones, B of A and those kinds of things. And when they started coming along, the culture changed from service. Hey, let's spend a lot of time to service you to no next in line and let's sell them more products. It became less of a service culture and more of a sales culture. At least that's what she felt. And that's what I observed. You seem to be the opposite, more of a service culture and the sales. Hey, the sales will take care of itself. If we serve people, you know, they'll see the value in this and they'll do it. I think the other thing that's unique about it, and I just keep stressing this, is this crazy idea of renting the bike. I can't go rent my Kia before I drive it. Talk about that. I think that's powerful. You can tell me all day what a great bike it is, but until I get on it and go, wee!
Yeah, it's a big piece of our business. I mean, it's one that I need to get better at, but I can tell you that it's also rewarding because people come back from that and it's invariably, that was the most fun thing I did today.
Yeah,
And that's pretty rewarding. But it also does introduce people to the brand. I will tell you that in my shop, people can ride our demo bikes all day long. I don't make them rent a bike. Part of the experience and part of the advantage of a Pedego dealership is I carry a lot of inventory because I want people to come in there because I want them to ride as many bikes as possible.
Right.
But if they can ride all of them in my store, different brand, different sizes and styles, then I'm doing them a service. They don't have to run around to six different locations to do that.
Yeah.
And that's been very successful. So the rental piece is important to us. And I use that in partnering with other businesses in the area that I work with, the hotels.
Hotels.
And it's a good introduction. But I also will tell people, you know, if you rent and you want to use that towards a purchase, we'll give you credit for that. But if you don't want to rent, you just want to ride the bike, you know, come around and try bikes all day long, we'll do that with you because that's part of us. As part of our mission to help you find ways to find the perfect fit for you so that you'll ride a bike for life. And so they both work together for me. And frankly, I think that the rental piece is one of the smarter things that Pedego has done to bring in the idea of let's try it before you buy it.
Well, you said it. If I'm going to invest in something today, I want it to last a lifetime here. Too often, they don't last but a season or two, particularly things that I think are going to be fun. I had a canoe once, and I did it for like a season, and then it was a pain in the butt, and it's still sitting hung in the garage somewhere. The stationary bikes and all the exercise equipment we bought through the years, it somehow fizzled and fell apart. And I don't know if it fell apart because there was no support, that we didn't have sort of accountability partners. Hey, get on the bike and get going like you do at a gym. I didn't know if it fell apart just because it wasn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be, or if it just fell apart because my life changed. But whatever it is, I see people changing into the bike and changing them. That's what's I hearing more. We've had some regular customers how they didn't adapt the bike to them. The bike sort of almost took over and led them in paths they didn't see before. I don't know. Is that too weird? But it seems to be something there.
There's definitely something there. And I think that that's a consistent theme that I hear from clients, that they weren't expecting that, especially once they get the right bike and the right fit. So it takes time to make sure that this is something that's customized for them. And Pedego gives lots of options for us to do that. And we take the time for it. And once you find a bike that fits, and then you get this additional kind of miraculous ability to be able to have magic legs and be able to go places you've never thought
you'd go before. I love that, magic legs. Yeah, right.
And to feel the benefit of being out in fresh air and being in nature and being with your partner or your grandkids. Those things, I don't think you can't really hand them a brochure and read that and get what that really means until you do it. And there are so many people who come to us and say, they do say it's life changing. I did not expect to have this much fun. I did not expect to see these kind of benefits. I did not expect to be in case one case where a couple came in and she said, I know this sounds corny, but I feel like I'm a better wife and a better mom because my head is more clear because I commute to work every day. And her partner had lost 15 pounds in like 2 months from commuting to work. And they were just giggly about this whole thing. And I thought, this is why I'm here. This is amazing to be part of this. And they were so appreciative and so grateful in sharing the story with people who just walked to the store randomly, volunteering this to them. To me, that makes this whole thing worthwhile.
I doubt people got too giggly when they left the bank. They might have been happy, but they probably didn't giggle on the way out here.
Not very often.
Well, I'm giggling the more of these stories I hear. It's starting to realize there's a deeper story here. It is like a revolution. There is something, a movement. There's a change afoot here. And I'm thrilled to be riding along with you. If people want to ride one of your bikes, if they want to come and hear your story, because it was life transforming for you, too. What do they do to reach you? How do they find Mike Murphy in Eugene, Oregon here?
Sure. Yeah. So we're located at 199 East 5th Avenue, suite number 5 in the 5th Street Public Market District. You've got a big, huge, bright orange bike mounted up on the roof. It says Pedego. It's a classic Tommy Bahama model that Don and Tom gifted to me when I opened the shop, if I could get it on top, which we've done. And we can find us at www.pedegoeugene.com. That's how you find our website. And if you feel like you want to text us or chat with us or email us or call us, you can do all those things all via that website, and we're happy to help you in any way that works for you. So we appreciate that.
You know, everybody always ends by saying happy to help you. You guys really seem to be happy to help. That seems to be why you're in this. Yes, you want to sell bikes. Yes, this is about getting them out in the public. I get that. It's a business, but it seems to be a fun business, and I don't see that. Fun seems to be the key motivator. Money wasn't maybe the first thing on your mind here. It was getting a business that's fun and helpful and helping people. That seems to be some of the motivation here. That's hard to find.
It's always been my motivation, even when I was a banker, to help. And like I said, sometimes the environment doesn't allow you to do that. But this is my business, and I get to run it the way I want to. And money wasn't the primary motivator. Having said that, we're certainly having a fantastic initial year. But even if I wasn't, the relationships and the knowledge of the lives that we're changing just by helping people find a solution to things they're looking for is probably the most rewarding thing I've done in my career.
And money, as nice as it is, it really just helps you help more people in a certain sense, too. You can do more things and more volunteers and more activities. I love your story. It's an amazing story. It combines both of our stories, not just the entrepreneurial story, not just the second career, second act story, which I've heard many times, but the life-changing love story of an e-bike enthusiast. It's amazing to hear all that. Thank you so much. Michael Murphy himself is on the air with us today from Eugene, Oregon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. One more reason that you got to tune in each and every week to the Pedego podcast as we ride along with the entrepreneurs who are making this revolution move forward and the love stories of those just riding along right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.